Good morning, Saints. Counted a privilege once again to come into your presence and be able to share the word of God with you this day. I thank Multimedia for that song. If he would carry the weight of the world upon his shoulders, he would surely carry us through. Thank you. And also want to just take this moment just to thank our pastor for trusted me this morning, and thank our two elders who have helped out thus far with the service and all that we have received thus far this morning. But I have a great need. I need some help. So if you would, let's bow our heads and let's claim the promises of God and ask him to give us some help, me in hearing his voice and sharing with you all. You are receiving what God has shared with me. Let us look to the Lord. Father, I thank you for the promise that is given, that he that spared not his son, but delivered him up for us all, how should he not also with him freely give us all things? You said the Father gave his spirit without measure to his son, and we also may partake of its fullness. So give us the fullness of your Holy Spirit this morning, Lord, as we study the topic, the help of the Lord. We're living in a time, Lord, where we have a great need of your help. More than anything, Lord, we need a moment by moment anointing of the Holy Spirit. And in our lives, we need revival and reformation in our homes and in our lives. So as we hear this talk today, this study, I'm going to say today, may it encourage us to recognize that God is our refuge and our strength, and he is indeed a very present help in time of trouble. So bless me, speak to me and through me, and may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable in your sight. This is our prayer and hope. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. This morning, thank Elder Samir for the scripture reading. This is a very interesting story. As I studied this out this week, I was really impressed with Jehoshaphat. And 2 Chronicles 20, I pray that you bought your Bibles because the Word of God speaks so much better than I can. So I'm going to use my Bible to share with you the things that God has shared with me as I studied this out this week. And 2 Chronicles 20, verses 1 and 2. 1, 2, and 3, it said, toward the close of Jehoshaphat's reign, the kingdom of Judea was invaded by an army before whose approach the inhabitants of the land had reason to tremble. Jehoshaphat and his people had godly fear. The children of Moab and the children of Ammon, and with them others beside the Ammonites, came against Jehoshaphat to do battle. Now, news of this invasion reached the king through a messenger who appeared with the startling words, There come a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on this side of Syria. So you can see that Jehoshaphat had reason to fear because these three nations had declared war against Jehoshaphat and his people. And in verse 3, it said, and Jehoshaphat feared, and he set himself to seek the Lord and to proclaim a fast throughout all of Judea. You know, church, as I started to wonder, I said, why would Jehoshaphat proclaim a fast throughout all of Judea? You have to go back and look at the life of Jehoshaphat. As I went back in the study, I found that in chapter 17, after Jehoshaphat's father died and he became king, he had mobilized for war. He had prepared his people for war, and he had set up garrisons all throughout the cities which he was in charge of. In other words, he had military posts all throughout the land. But the thing I found about Jehoshaphat he had made numerous errors in serving the Lord. In chapter 18, he made an alliance with a marriage alliance with a wicked king. He made a marriage alliance with Ahab. In fact, he had made an agreement that his son would marry Ahab and Jezebel's daughter. And because of this, he caused the death of Ahab because there was a war, and at the end of the war, and Ahab was killed. So I believe that he feared and set himself to seek the Lord through a fast because he had come to realize that his strength was not in numbers. Because I found out in Second Chronicles 17, 12 through 19, Jehoshaphat had an army of at least 1 million people. He had a large army. He had plenty of help. He had set his people up for war. But in this battle, he realized that it was bigger than him and all those military people that he had had under his command. So he, in verse 4, it says, and Judea gathered themselves together to ask help of the Lord. And that's where we get our title from today, Help of the Lord. You know, I'll say this and I'll probably repeat it again. I believe it's in Zechariah 4:6. The Bible said, not by might nor by power, but it's by the Spirit of the Lord that we can win these battles. I believe that I believe that Jehoshaphat realized that this battle was bigger than him and his people. One thing I've learned, church, is that, and I believe Jehoshaphat learned it. I keep saying Jeremiah because I want to go there. In Jeremiah 17, starting with verse 5, it makes a statement that, thus said the Lord, cursed be the man that trusted in man. You see that? We have to be so careful of putting our trust in man. And again, I want to mention that he had military might. He was a man of valor. He was a man of war. But he recognized that it's a curse on us who trust in man and make his flesh his arms. You're going to hear that again. And whose heart depart from the Lord. In verse 6, it says, for he shall be like the heath in the desert and should not see when good cometh, but shall inhabit the parched place in the wilderness in a salt land not inhabited. But verse 7 said, blessed is the man that trusted in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. So he realized that his blessing come from trusting and having hope in the Lord. And I had to ask myself as I was studying this out, why would these people come against Jehoshaphat, knowing that he has a large military army and that he was a man of valor and a man of war? Church, this invasion came about because of what Jehoshaphat had did in the land. Because of Jehoshaphat's religious and judicial reforms, this war was started against him. I tell you, if you all are not tuning in to Wednesday night prayer meeting, on Wednesday, we're studying the work of reform in chapter 26 of the Great Controversy. It's two books I love. It's Azaves and Great Controversy. I believe Great Controversy would be first on my list. But on Wednesday nights, we need to tune in on Wednesday and take part in these wonderful services that God is providing for his people. But we're studying a work of reform. And that's what Jehoshaphat started. Because of his work of reform, I'm telling you, the enemy was very upset with Jehoshaphat. If you have your Bibles, come with me to 2 Chronicles 17, and we're going to look at verses 3 onward to verse 6 or 7, somewhere around there. And 2 Chronicles 17, it says that, and the Lord was with Jehoshaphat. because he walked in the first ways of his father. In other words, he was a man of God, as Ronald taught us about this morning. He was a good leader. I said, he walked in the first ways of his father, David, and sought not unto Balaam. Verse 4, but sought to the Lord God of his father, and walked in his commandments, and not after the doing of Israel. In other words, Jehoshaphat and his people were Seventh-day Adventists. They practiced the religion that God had given to Moses and his people at that time. Therefore, the Lord established a kingdom in his hand, and all Judea brought to Jehoshaphat presents, and he had riches and honor in abundance. Man was well off. Like I say, he had a military army of over 1 million people. I know I counted at least 980,000, and that's not counting all. I believe he had an army of at least 1 million people. But verse 6 says, and his heart was lifted up in the ways of the Lord. Moreover, he took away the high places and groves of Judea. In other words, when he started bringing about this reform and telling these people that you're worshiping false gods, and these idols and things that you have must be torn down, Jehoshaphat brought that reform to his people. And because of that, the enemy was very upset with Jehoshaphat. And he waged war against him. It says, also in the third year, verse 7, and also in the third year of his reign, he sent to princes, and even to Benahad, and to Obadiah, and Zechariah, and to Nethanel, and to Micaiah, to teach the cities of Judea. He started to teach the people, saints. He began a nationwide religious education program. Right now, we're at peace because we haven't, the devil ain't upset with us because we have not started the reform that's needed in this world today. I believe that when the reform that God would have us to start, we too are going to come under attack of the Lord. And I'll tell you about that more in a minute. Jehoshaphat, he continued the work of reform begun by his father. Not only did Jehoshaphat not seek after Balaam, but he also did away with their centers of worship. Those idol worship centers that they had set up, Jehoshaphat rid the country of them. You'll see in verse 17, verses 9 and 10, and it said, and they taught in Judea. We have to get back to teaching the people the ways of the Lord. I'm grateful for one of our elders, Elder Fullwood, once a month he comes together with us and we study the Bible. He started in Genesis, a word-for-word Bible study, powerful study. I would encourage you all, when you hear about these meetings, please join in because there's so much richness in the study of the Word of God. If we're not taught of the Word of God, when these crises, which is to come, as I heard him say in his prayer, that this is the beginning of sorrow. There's a whole lot more words to come. We must be rooted and grounded in the Bible if we're going to survive the crisis that this world is soon to face. And it says in verse 9, and they taught in Judea and had the books of the law. They had the books that Moses gave his people. They had the books of the law with them and went about throughout all of Judea and taught the people. Hallelujah. They taught the people. It's time for us to get back to being the people of the book. It's time for us to believe and know what a thus said the Lord is and not be caught up into the things of this world. Our only safety is going to be found in having a knowledge of the scriptures and what God says. Man should not live by bread alone, Matthew 4:4, but every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And verse 10 says, 17 verse 10 said, and the fear of the Lord fell upon all the kingdoms of the land that were round about Judea, so that they made no war against Jehoshaphat. But you know, Satan, like I say, he gets angry when reform is started. When the work of reform is to begin, Satan will become very, very angry. Again, in the book, in the Bible commentary, book 3 of the Bible commentary, page 254, it states that Moses had given important instructions, which if heeded would mean much to the nations. Jehoshaphat understood that the prosperity of his nation dependent upon obedience to the commands of the Lord. I believe with all my heart that these people were Seventh-day Adventists. They followed the commandments of God and they kept the Sabbath holy. I find that very important, and we'll see more about that as we journey through this talk today. He therefore did all that was in his power to see that the people became acquainted with the divine requirements, that they might put away sin and walk fully in the ways of the Lord. And that's what reform is. Reform is pointing people to the truth as it is in Jesus, teaching people to put away their sins and to trust in God. And that's our mission. The third angel's message is our mission. That's what we've been called to do. Because in Revelation 14, I believe it's 9, that third angel's message, woe to the people that don't get in line with this truth and recognize that it's coming from God and God alone. Now, Jehoshaphat's measures were not half-hearted. Throughout the country, the priests were sent with the commission to instruct the people in the law of the Lord and the ways of righteousness. A spiritual awakening in all parts of the nation was a result of the king. And that's what's going to be needed in these last days. It's going to be a spiritual awakening. And we have a burden for our young people because they are the ones. You see, the king that Brother Ronald talked about this morning, that king was 16 years old. And as long as he stayed in the ways of the Lord, he was successful. And I believe just as the 16, 17, and 19-year-old led us to this truth that we're here studying about today, Ellen White and that group, James Harmon and Edmund and all those people Hudson and all those people that were young. They were young people, but they became people of the book and learned the ways of the Lord. We're going to need those people again because I'm gray-headed. I'm getting old. And we're going to need someone else. We're going to need the young people to take this baton and finish this work. We're going to need our young people to be grounded in the Word of God. I need you all to get that. We need to train. We need to get these young people trained in this learning. You know, a lot of people look at the Old Testament as just, they think it's just words. And what is it? Romans 15:4, the Bible says, whatsoever things written aforetime was written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Our hope is in these scriptures. These Old Testament stories are just not stories, saints. You can parallel these stories to the time in which we're living, and we can see that this is what's going to be needed to finish this work, a knowledge of a thus said the Lord. It was a spiritual awakening in all parts of the nation was a result of the king's earnest effort for his people. He became Judea's first reforming king. Wow. He was Judea's first reforming king. That work of reform really took off. This is why the attack came. I believe that's why his people was put under attack. Again, he was a man of courage and valor. For years, he had been strengthening his army and fortifying his cities. I told you about that in 2 Chronicles 17, 12 through 19. He was well prepared to meet the foe. Yet in this crisis, he put not his trust in the arm of flesh. Remember I said, cursed be the man that trusted in man and maketh flesh his arm? In this crisis, he put not his trust in the arm of flesh, not by disciplined armies and fenced cities, but by a living faith in the God of Israel, could he hope to gain victory over these heathen who boasted of their power to humble Judea in the eyes of the nation. Again, in Zechariah 4, verse 6, it said, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit that these victories will be won. We must learn to put our trust in God. You know, Judea faced a threat to its very existence. And the nation met that threat by gathering together and unitedly seeking help from God. Let me say this. Pay attention here now. In the not so distant future, the children of God will face a similar threat from their enemies. And they too will find comfort and help by turning to God. We're going to face a crisis, church, because Satan hates us. Listen at Review and Herald, April the 14th, 1896, with Ellen Penn. Those who love and keep the commandments of God are the most obnoxious to the synagogue of Satan. I want you to get that. Those who love and keep the commandments of God are the most obnoxious to the synagogue of Satan, and the powers of evil will manifest their hatred toward them to the fullest extent possible. Satan is set to bring down those who keep the commandments of God. Now, why do I say this? John foresaw the conflict between the remnant church and the power of evil, and he said, he penned this in Revelation 12, 17. We all know this. The dragon was wroth. In other words, he was angry with God, people. He hates us. If you proclaim yourself as a Seventh-day Adventist, I say this and I say this now. Learn what it means to be a Seventh-day Adventist. Become rooted and grounded in the truth, because Satan's going to make war against us. And if you don't have a thus said the Lord to stand on, if you don't know the promises of God, you're going to fall. It's important that we know it and we train our children to know it too, because they're going to be the one that finishes this work. So the devil was wroth with the woman, and he went to do what? He went to make war with the remnant of her seed. Why? Because they keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. We have the spirit of prophecy, church. Never be ashamed of the spirit of prophecy. There are many who want to throw the spirit of prophecy out. There are many who want to throw the book of Genesis out. But I tell you, if you don't have a foundation, you will not stay. It's very important that we get rooted. I love repeating myself. It's very important that we get rooted and grounded in a thus said the Lord. In Revelation 13, 15, listen at what's going to happen. In Revelation 13, 15, the Bible says, we're talking about that Satan now. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. If we don't keep Sunday sacred, Satan's going to put a target on my back. He's going to want to destroy us. He's going to want to kill us. So if you really love the Lord and you choose to keep his commandments, know why you're keeping them. Because a target is going to be on you, and you're going to be set to be destroyed if you're not rooted and grounded in the truth. In other words, when the legislative frames laws which exalt the first day of the week and put it in the place of the seventh day, the device of Satan will be perfect. That's again found in Review and Herald, April 15, 1890. Indeed, history will repeat itself. In this book, The Work of Reform, the great controversy of this book, Work of Reform, that we're studying, one of the things that is bringing up, the work of the Sabbath reform is to be accomplished in the last days, is foretold in the prophecies of Isaiah. Thus said the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hands from doing evil. In this book also, The Work of Reform, it says that this spirit will increase more and more. And the Bible plainly teaches that a time is approaching when the laws of the state will so conflict with the laws of God that whosoever would obey all the divine precepts must brave reproach and punishment as an evildoer. So for all of us who are brave enough to keep the commandments of God, be ready for the attack that is sure to come. I can't say that clear enough. We will be attacked by the enemy. But there's hope in Revelation. I love Genesis and Revelation. Those are two wonderful books. All the books are great, but those are two books that go, to me, they parallel one another. One is the beginning, the other is the end, but one points back and the other one points forward. In Revelation 17, 14, there's hope, saints. In Revelation 17, 14, the Bible says, Satan and his imps will make war with the Lamb. Hallelujah. But the Lamb shall overcome. Ain't that good news? The Lamb shall overcome. I get excited when I read this kind of stuff, saints. For he is Lord of lords and King of kings, and they that are with him are called, chosen, and faithful. Hallelujah. It's important that we learn these things. We know these things. Be able to find them and practice them and put them to memory. So let us go back to 2 Chronicles 20, and we're going to see what Jehoshaphat did. You know, this morning I was sharing with the powwow team about the importance of fasting and prayer. There's so many stories I could have used. I remember there was Judges, there was Ezra, there was Samuel, there was Jonah. And there's a New Testament story that I'd like to share with you this morning before I get back to Jehoshaphat's prayer. In Mark chapter 9, there's a story of when Jesus, James, and John went up into the mountain. It was a transfiguration of Jesus. And when he took those three up in the mount, there appeared Moses and Elijah. They appeared. Moses was the one who saw death, and Elijah didn't see death. They came to pull up Jesus, help Jesus to get ready for the battle that he was about to encounter. So what this happened, while Jesus and James and John were up there, a man brought his son to the disciples, the nine that was left down at the foot of the mount. Jesus brought this man brought his son to these nine disciples. And his son had been vexed with a demon from the age of a child. This demon took control of this man's son and tried to kill him. And the man brought his son to these disciples with the hope that the disciples could cast out this demon from his son. But church, the disciples were ill-prepared those nine disciples were ill-prepared to cast out that demon. And when Jesus and the three other disciples came back down from the mount, the people ran toward Jesus. Wasn't told on Jesus' disciples, said, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't cast out this demon. And Jesus said, what in the world is going on here that you people are having this problem? So he said, Lord, I need you to help me. And the Lord said, let me turn there real quick. Let me just see. I don't want to leave out an important point here. And that's Mark 9 I was talking about. In Mark 9, he said, he said in 9:23, and Jesus said unto him, if thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. So this man said, and straightway the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. I'm telling you this story because what I got out of this story was Jesus said in verse 9:29, he says, and he said to them, this demon that was possessing his son. Now, some manuscripts just said, we must pray. But I'm going to trust what I'm reading here in this King James Bible. In 9:29, it said, and he said to them, this kind can come forth by nothing but by prayer and fasting. Church, you know, when I first joined Pisgah Church, we still have a lot of prayer meetings, and all night prayer meetings, fasting and praying. We better learn how to do it again, because Jesus said this kind come by fasting and prayer. So let's go back to Jehoshaphat. I want to get back to him. Time is running out. And Jehoshaphat went to God in prayer. Let's look at his prayer that he prayed. And in this prayer, I want you to notice that he claimed so many promises of God. He prayed back to God what he knew God had done. It says, standing in the temple court before his people, Jehoshaphat poured out his soul in prayer, pleading God's promises with confession of Israel's helplessness. He said, O Lord, God of our fathers, he petitioned, art not thou God in heaven? This is a question. And ruleth not thou over the kingdom of the heathen? Another question. And in thine hand is there not power and might, so that none is able to withstand thee? Art not thou our God, who didst drive out the inhabitants of this land before thy people Israel, and gavest it to the seed of Abraham thy friend forever? And they dwelt therein, and had built thee a sanctuary therein for thy name, saying, if when evil come upon us, and the sword, judgment, or pestilence, or famine, we stand before this house and in thy presence, for in thy name in this house, and cry unto thee in our affliction, then thou wilt hear and help. What a prayer that he is praying to his God. And now he said, behold, the children of Ammon and Moab and Mount Seir. Now he's starting to tell God these people who's coming to do battle against him. I love this. He said, whom thou would not let Israel invade when thou came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and destroyed them not. Behold, I say, how they reward us. God, you wouldn't let us, when you brought us out of Egypt, you wouldn't let us attack them. But now they're coming to attack us. He says, to cast us out of thy possession, which thou hast given us to inherit, O our God, which thou, and then Jehoshaphat said, will thou not judge them? For we have no might against this great company that cometh against us, neither know we what to do, but our eyes are upon thee. I got that out of Prophets and Kings, page 199. Also in Prophets and Kings, it said, with confidence, Jehoshaphat could say to the Lord, our eyes are upon thee. For years he had taught the people to trust in the one who in past ages had so often interposed to save his chosen one from their utter destruction. And now when the kingdom was in peril, Jehoshaphat did not stand alone. He had sense enough to ask for some help. All Judea stood before the Lord. Look who they bought. They bought their little ones. They bought their wives and their children. United, don't miss this. United, they fasted and prayed. United, they besought the Lord to put their enemies to confusion, that the name of Jehovah might be glorified. Church, we all got to push in the same direction. We all got to press together. We all got to be united if we're going to finish this work, because this was a prayer that Jesus had for his people. Now, this unity that we see here points forward to a promise in John 17, 21. It says that they all may be one. That's God's desire for us. What a powerful prayer, that we all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. You see that? God desires for us to be one, that the world may believe that Jesus Christ was sent to save his people from their sins. In 2 Chronicles 20, verse 14, as the people joined with their king in humbling themselves before God and asking for help, the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jehaziel, a Levite, the son of Asaph, and he said, in verse 20, 15, he said, hearken ye all Judea and all you inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude. Hallelujah. For the battle is not yours, but God's. Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come upon the cliff of Zerah, and you shall find them. You shall find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You should not need to fight this battle. Set yourself. He says, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judea in Jerusalem, fear not nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Hebrews 13:5 says the Lord will never forsake us or leave us. We got to remember these promises. God is with us. And if God be for us, who can be against us? Hallelujah. Church, this was the Lord's battle, not man's. The enemies of Judea were fighting against God, and he would intervene in behalf of his people. I believe he's going to do that in the future. All of us should remember these words, stand still. Let's go to, I want you to turn with me to Exodus. I want to read this. I want to read this. I want you all to see it too. Turn with me to Exodus. I believe it's Exodus. Yes, Exodus. Let's go to Exodus 14. Let's read that quickly. Time is, yeah, we got a little bit of time. Exodus 14. Look at this, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. In Exodus 14, let's pick up a verse 13. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, and stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he shall show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, you shall see them again no more. The Lord, who shall fight? Oh, hallelujah. The Lord shall fight for you, and you should hold your peace. Wow. God's going to fight for us, and you should hold your peace. There's more good news, church. Listen. It says, now as then, the victory would be entirely from God, with man acting as witness of his mighty power in their behalf. Let's go a little further. Let's go to the book of Deuteronomy. Look at this promise here in Deuteronomy. Let's go to Deuteronomy chapter 20. What a promise here. Wow. When I read this, I got so excited. I didn't know what to do. I was beside myself. In Deuteronomy chapter 20, listen to what God says. Now, he's talking about horses and chariots and stuff like that. But in the future, it's going to be other means of weapons that's going to be used against us. And Deuteronomy 20, verses 1 through 4, listen. When thou goest out to battle against thine enemies and seest horses and chariots and people more than thou, what he said, be not afraid of them. Don't do it. Be not afraid of them. For the Lord thy God is with thee, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. Verse 2, and it shall be when you come nigh unto the battle that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people. He sent his priests out there to go before the people. Verse 3, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, ye approach this day unto battle against your enemies. Let not your heart faint. See, the ministers had to encourage the people. Let not your heart faint. Fear not. Hallelujah. And do not tremble, neither be ye terrified of them. Don't be afraid of their faces. He told, who was it, Jeremiah? He said, when you was formed in your mother's womb, boy, I ordained you. And I sent you to be a prophet. So don't be afraid of their faces. Don't be afraid of these people. Stand before them and say what I give you to say. Verse 4 says, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save you. Who's going to go with you? God is going to go with us, church. It's important that we understand these things. God is going to go with us. Let's go a little further. Let's go to Joshua. Let's look at Joshua chapter 5. These were all people that were prepared to go up in battle. And the story I'm getting ready to share with you now, Joshua chapter 5, he too was getting ready to go into battle. He was going up against Jericho. And look what the instruction God gave him in Joshua 5. Let's pick up with verses 13 and 14 again. In Joshua 5, verse 13, it said, it came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, art thou for us or for our adversaries? And Joshua, when he saw this man, Joshua was a warrior. He had took over for Moses. He was ready to do battle. But look at verse 14. And he said, nay, but as captain, I want you to admit, don't miss this, but as captain of the host of the Lord, I am now come. And Joshua did what? He fell on his face, saints, to the earth and did worship and said unto him, what saith my Lord unto his servant? Joshua, God was preparing Joshua to bring down the walls of Jericho. And in verse 15, it says, and the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, loose thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place wherein thou stand is holy. And Joshua did so. Likewise, Moses did so too, when Moses came into the presence of God. I want you to listen at this promise here. I found an awesome promise. I've loved this promise here in the word, in the spirit of prophecy. Let me say this before I read this promise. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12, the Bible reminds us, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. This is not a flesh and blood battle. We need the word of God to win this battle if we're going to fight. And you remember, he told Joshua, but as captain of the Lord of hosts, I have come. In the book, The Tsar of Ages, page 352, listen to this promise. It says, I want you to see who was with, let me read it. All the intelligence of heaven are in this army. Wow. Find that promise, saints, and claim it. All the intelligence of heaven are in this army. In Psalms 103, verse 20, I believe God said, God has an army of angels to fight for him. We don't have to fight. God has an army. Let me finish this quote. And more than angels are in the rank. He has more than angels. That's why, listen to this. The Holy Spirit, the representative of the captain of the Lord of hosts, comes down to direct the battle. You know, when we get into a battle, in our own strength, we are no match for the devil and his forces of evil. But God is promising us that he has an army of angels. And not only that, the Holy Spirit is going to be our director. He's the Holy Spirit, the representative of the captain of the Lord of hosts, comes down to direct this battle that we're going to be engaged in. Hallelujah. Every day that you wake, in John 20, it says, God told, he breathed on his disciples and said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Pray these things back to the Lord. Every morning you get up, Lord, ask the Lord for the Holy Spirit, because he is the one that's going to direct the battles that we are engaged in. That's why it's very important that we be connected to God and have a relationship through the power of the Holy Spirit with Jesus Christ. Our infirmities may be many, our sins and mistakes grievous, but the grace of God is for all who seek it with contrition. The power of omnipotence is enlisted in behalf of all those who trust in God. What a promise. What a promise. So let us go back to 2 Chronicles 20, verse 18. Let us go back there and continue in our story. And I tell you, when I come across this, I was so amazed. In the Bible commentary, page 264, it says, Jehoshaphat and his people returned. Before I go there, in 2 Chronicles 20, 18, it said, Jehoshaphat bowed his head, was his face to the ground. What did Joshua do? He bowed his head with his face to the ground. Just as Joshua did, Jehoshaphat did. He bowed his head with his face to the ground, and all Judea and all the inhabitants of Jerusalem fell before the Lord and worshiped the Lord. What a praise party that must have been. When God told him, this battle ain't yours, the battle is mine. Oh, man, I tell you, I would like to have been in that praise party. Them people got to praise and worship God in a way unheard of. In my sanctified imagination, I imagine that was a it was a lot of praises going up, saints. In the Bible commentary I was just telling you about, page 264, Jehoshaphat and the people returned thanks to God. Don't miss this. Don't miss this. These people returned thanks to God for the promised victory. They hadn't even fought yet, but they had sense enough. When God healed the 10, only one came back. It bothers me. Church, we got to learn how to thank God and praise him for his battle, for his blessings. The battle had not yet begun, but the Lord's promise was accepted. God is honored when his people show sufficient faith to thank him for promised blessings and for victories. The battle hadn't even started yet, but Jehoshaphat and his people started praising the Lord. They had a praise party because they knew they didn't have to fight. The battle was God's. Now this was a striking offering of praise before rather than after the victory. They started praising God before the victory because of what he said he would do. The people gave thanks to God as soon as he gave the promise. I heard Ella say in his prayer, 2 Chronicles 17:16-9. The eyes of the Lord goes to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong and mighty on behalf of his people that honor him. So God is honored when we praise and we look to him. So in 2 Chronicles 20:20, it said they rose early in the morning and went forth in the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood and said, "Hear me, O Judea, and all ye inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, so you shall be established. Believe his prophets, so you shall prosper." I heard Ronald L. Green say this morning in the Sabbath school hour that Zechariah, I believe, he was given instructions to this young 16-year-old king that it came about. Zechariah was a priest. He was a prophet, not a priest. He was a prophet and a priest. He was a high priest. He gave instructions to this young man. It's very important that when we follow the ways of the Lord, listen to the Lord, God has mighty things he can do for his people. So the story goes on and said, "Hear ye," it said, I brought that up because a lot of people want to discard the spirit of prophecy. I tell you, saints, be careful. Be so very careful to want to get rid of. Why would Satan give that prophet that much information? To attack him? Saints, never. A lot of people are going to convince you that the spirit of prophecy is plagiarized or it's this and that. Fool you with that. Don't get caught up into that. You heard what Jehoshaphat said? He said, "Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established, and believe his prophets, so you should prosper." In other words, we're being assured that we should put our trust in the Lord and have courage. Believe his prophets, and you should succeed in what you're about to do. Let us not kick our prophets to the curb or throw them out with the bathwater. Let's hold on to our prophets because they're going to finish this work through us. After consulting with the leaders of the people, he determined that there should be a choir leading the march. You know, when I read that, I said, "What? He gonna send a choir out before the army?" Not only did he send the choir out before the army, but he clothed them in sanctified garments. He put priestly garments on these on this choir. He didn't send them out in tennis shoes and t-shirts. He sent him out in priestly garments. I'm gonna leave that alone. But anyway, they were clothed in sanctified garments, singing the song and praising the Lord for his mercy, which endures forever. Praise ye the Lord, whose mercy endures forever. And in verse 22, "And when they began to sing and to praise the Lord set an ambush against the children of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, which came against Jehoshaphat, and they were smitten." The Lord fought this battle, church. Seldom has the world seen such a battle as this. Men singing hymns of praise in their priestly garments, to God as the attack is about to begin. The people were living their faith in God saw fit to honor him. The Lord promised victory, and the people took him at his word. Victory was theirs because they claimed it. Hallelujah. In Prophets and King, God was the strength of Judea in this crisis. Who was the strength? Say it with me. God was the strength of Judea in this crisis. And he is the strength of his people today. We are not to trust in princes or set man in the place of God. We are to remember that human beings are fallible and erring, and that he who has all power is our strong tower of defense. And listen to this, in every emergency, not some, in every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is his. In every emergency, we are to feel that the battle is his. His resources are limitless and apparent impossibilities will make the victory all the greater. You remember the man said, "Lord, is it possible?" God said, "With him, all things are possible." Believe that. With God, all things are possible. So as we prepare to land the plane, in 2 Chronicles 20, verse 29 and 30 said, "And the fear of God was on all the kingdoms of these countries when they heard that the Lord fought against the enemies of Israel." We can't win this battle, church. We must give it to God. So the realm of Jehoshaphat was quiet, for his God gave him rest round about. I want to close with this statements from Testimonies to Ministers and Gospel Workers. It's found on page 300. God will employ agencies that will surprise us. Let me tell you that the Lord will work in this last work in a manner very much out of common order of things. And in a way that he will bring, and in a way that will bring contrary to any human planning. Let me read that again. Let me start over again. God will employ agencies that will surprise us. Let me tell you that the Lord will work in this last work in a manner very much out of common order of things, in a way that will bring contrary to any human planning. There will be those among us who will always want to control the work of God, to dictate even what movement should be made. When the work go forth under the direction of the angel who joined the third angel in the message to be given to the world, that's our last message, God will use ways and means by which it will be seen that he is taking the reins in his own hands. The workers will be surprised by the simple means that he will use to bring about and perfect his work of righteousness. He's going to use simple means to perfect his work of righteousness. Father, I thank you for what our ears have heard and our hearts have received this morning, this afternoon as well. I pray that we will learn from this lesson that the battle is not ours, it is indeed yours. I pray that we will not just look at these Old Testament stories, because you said whatsoever things written aforetime, they were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And our hope is in you, Lord, and these sacred and sanctified words that you've given to us, your people. Help us to finish the work of reform that Jehoshaphat started in his time. A work of reform is needed in our land today because many believe that the Sunday is the Sabbath. And we have to realize and know that Sunday is not the Sabbath. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord our God. And I pray that as a people, we will recognize that and stand on that and be grounded in that, because the enemy will make war with us as we gravitate toward the end of time. So bless every family and household that have heard these teachings today, and may they be drawing closer to you, stay connected to you, and be ready when you come. Is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.